Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Friday, August 10th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my venturous twin brother, John Abaya.
Mic level is on. I'm checking the computer. Yeah, everything's on. 4,400. I think this is how we podcast, Ben. Has been a while.
It's been a while. Yes, it has been a while. And how are you?
I'm good. It's almost been a month. Nothing really changed. Still,
except for the landscape of California's air.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Or the airscape.
Yes. That. Besides that, and everything in between. I watched a lot of movies. I played some video games. What else? There's a TV show. One or two TV shows I'm into.
You went to Disneyland.
We talked about that already.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's how long it's been that I don't remember talking about that.
I think you were on an episode one time. And
that makes a lot of sense. Already.
Yeah.
As for me, I'm still planning a wedding, which takes like a substantial amount of time for some reason.
Been there, done that,
moved on. Yeah, it's been overwhelming, but everything is going great so far, so looking forward to that. I also watch like several movies that I don't think I've ever mentioned, but I don't think I will mention at this podcast, but in future,
they're
probably
secret, like, movies.
Yeah, they're not secret, but and then most of my time is dedicated to watching Steven Universe. So
what episode you're on, what season you're on?
In season one is actually long, just because there are only 10-minute episodes. So,
yeah, but there it's 25 or something. Like
no, I episodes. Think it's like 55 episodes.
Oh, really? It's odd because you never really look into like cartoons like that where they're like really short, but they put two episodes per, or they put two of those episodes, I guess, in one like 30-minute chunk. In Cartoon Network, and the way how Cartoon Network works is like sometimes they're off time, like it doesn't start exactly at one or exactly at two. You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah.
It's odd.
So I'm enjoying that, and pretty much that's about it. So
that's a podcast. No.
Yeah, it's a podcast. If you're new to the podcast, which I'm assuming you are now, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the season 7 premiere of The Venture Brothers. Speaking of, well, not Cartoon Network, but Adult Swim.
Yeah.
That premiered this past Sunday, and we're huge fans of the television show, so we will be going in depth and probably with spoilers with this one.
Mm-hmm.
But before all that, once again, is our trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is Slaughterhouse Rules.
Anyway,
there's something in the woods.
What the devil?
That hole is a gateway, and it leads straight down to hell.
That is a clip from the trailer of Slaughterhouse Rules, directed and co-written by Crispin Mills. It's starring Asa Butterfield, Finn Cole, Hermione Cornfield, Michael Sheen, Nick Frost, and Simon Pegg. This is the plot synopsis on IMDb. An illustrious British boarding school becomes a bloody battleground when a mysterious sinkhole appears at a nearby fracking site, unleashing unspeakable horror. So, John, I think I didn't know this movie was actually going to come out. So, what's your thoughts about this Nick Frost, Simon Pegg film?
I like it. It looks very familiar to their past films, mostly the Edgar Wright type of style of film, and a little mix of Nick Frost at one movie, Attack the Block. It feels like Attack the Block, but inside a school, basically. And it's more comedy versus Attack the Block. I felt more is in sci-fi drama type a movie. The stars of the movie, I don't really know that well. Like, I've seen some of these people in Harry Potter, it seems like. Some of these people I recognize from Harry Potter. Some of them, they're mostly British actors or European actors you've seen before in other movies that's with, you know, like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It looks entertaining. I like a good sci-fi. I hope it's sci-fi. It seems like it, type of movie like this. Looking forward to it. It's I mean, Halloween's a perfect time for it to come out. I really can't wait to watch this one.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I haven't watched Mills' debut film, A Fantastic Fear of Everything. I felt like you watched that, didn't you? Watch that?
Or Fantastic someone Fear of Everything?
With Simon Pegg.
Oh, no. I wanted to watch that, but I didn't really watch that.
It was on Netflix for quite some
very,
time.
Very long time.
Yeah. But with this, I could tell, he is heavily influenced by Edgar Wright's style, or all, like, British directors have like the same sensibility when it comes to like horror comedies. But you could tell like there are influences there with Edgar Wright. Anyway, with Nick Frost also cast in it, I want to see how they are going to like interact again, or like, are they ever going to interact in this film? Because, you know, they seem like two completely opposite sides of the film, where, you know, Simon Pegg plays a teacher, and I don't know what's Nick Frost's part in this, but the last time we've seen them together that's not written or directed by Edgar Wright is Paul, I believe. Yeah,
another and, like, sci-fi movie too.
Yeah, so like that was a fun movie, and then like it captures like the essence of what they are going for all the time with that, you know, references, nerd culture type of thing. So I'm pretty sure they're going to do that with here, but with horror films. So a lot of those little nudges and whatnot. So that comes out this Halloween. It's Slaughterhouse Rules. But yeah, moving on. So what have you been doing this past week, John? Not this whole month, but just this past week.
This past week, I've been playing Fortnite with you, Ben, and my nephew. So in the past, I think we've talked about Fortnite and saying like, oh, it's okay. It's not like PUBG, too much building and everything. But because it's big, one of the biggest games out there, and it came out on the Nintendo Switch, so I started playing it. I think I haven't even talked about that since it came out on the Nintendo Switch. I don't know. I don't remember past episodes anymore. Everything's a blur. But I've been playing it with you, my nephew, our cousins, mostly family members, and a couple of our friends of the podcast, like Seer. I like it now more. I bought the Battle Pass. I was like hesitant at first, so I bought it, and I'm doing the little challenges here, there. It's fun playing with you guys mostly. I don't like really playing with like just random people on the internet. Most of the time, if I do that, I don't really talk on the mic. I just, you know, just go with them and whatnot. I can hear them sometimes, mostly little kids playing it. I don't really want to talk to other little kids while playing that game. But I'm having fun still, just doing the little challenges and just, you know, just do they're doing like the one we played was explosives and flying. And
yes,
I've never
seen that.
Yes, that
was really cool and fun.
Yeah, I wish they have more of that in the game. And,
using rockets and what do you call it? Yeah, jetpacks.
Jetpacks,
yes.
Most of the time. And I think currently, while this podcast is out, the game type, the special game type is where the circle is closing in always. Like, there, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and stuff like that. So you just keep running. You loot, run, loot, run. It's still fun. I'm not too great in building. Because the PC, mobile, Switch, and Xbox One can all coexist at once. When I'm with a PC player, most of the time it's my nephew or cousin.
The cross platforming is refreshing.
Like, yes,
we
but
don't.
When you're
now
with the PC person, it's tough. If you're a controller, because you can't move as quick as them, and so it's almost.
I mean, it's advantage for them as long as you have folks who are in the PC on the PC playing the game. I think.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah, like that would be an advantage of them building fast and whatnot, and then you could just be the ones killing and. You know, the shooters of the squad.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't call them squad. What do they call them?
They do squad. They're still called squad. Four-man squads. I think, yeah, the game type squad, duos, and single.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good. I probably will update it later on, like in coming weeks, if what my battle... Currently, if anyone's wondering, My screen name on there is Abaya Arts, same thing as my Twitter. I believe yours is the same thing as your Twitter, Benjamin Abaya. If you guys want to add us and play us on the Epic account, we're more than welcome to play. We don't really play serious, we mostly just have fun. So don't get don't feel bad if we lose.
That's what, yes. Yeah. And if there's a sneak peek of how we play on our Twitter account on TFA Now. So
yes, even on our Facebook. So if you
want, kind of ridiculous, but fun. Yes.
So the best part about the Switch, it can record your guys' voices. It doesn't record my voice for some reason, but it's just fun hearing you guys play it, and then the commentary. I play so different around you guys versus if I'm playing with, you know, randos and stuff like that. But yeah, moving on to something I watch. Real quick, I watched the Teen Titans Go to the Movies movie, I guess you could say. So the title of the film is called Teen Titans Go to the Movies. So it's a movie version of the TV series that's on not Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, that's airing on Cartoon Network. If you guys don't know who are they, it's Teen Titans is made up of Robin, Beast Boy, Cyborg, Raven, and Starfire. And it is more of a comedy parody type kid show. The movie is taking those same actors. It's starring Greg Seeps, Scott Minville, Carrie Payton, Tara Strong, Hayden Watch, Will Arnett, and Kristen Bell. Well, Will Arnett and Kristen Bell are not in the TV show. The other Bub ones are in the TV show, and then they put them in.
Wait,
their own
Christian?
Little...
You said Kristen Bell?
Yeah, Kristen Bell. Kristen.
Oh, Kristen.
Bell.
Kristen.
Sorry, Kristen Bell.
Wait, so is Will Arnett playing Batman in the?
No, he doesn't. He plays another person.
Oh, that's weird.
Batman is actually played by someone else too in this movie. It's oddly, I don't know what the contract of Will Arnett. He actually produced the movie. Will Arnett. He's one of the people who helped produce the movie.
Okay.
I don't know if he has a weird deal with DC or something where he can do a whole bunch of this stuff now, and but he can't play Batman in there.
I think that's probably a Lego contract.
Yeah, yeah. Warner Brothers. I don't know if it's a DC contract because he's producing this film. Interesting that he's just producing a DC film after doing the Lego movie. I think the coolest voiceover, it's not really a spoiler, you hear it in the trailer, is Nicolas Cage playing Superman. And if you the backstory of that, it's so great. Like the way he's playing Superman, and it took this long for him to actually play that role.
I think his son, his real life son, is like named after either Kal-El or Jor-El.
It's Kal-El. He's in the movie too.
wait, what?
Yes.
The son is in the movie?
He's in the movie too.
How old is the son now?
He has a baby. He plays a kid, a young Bruce Wayne. So he has to be at least like 11 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
So if you're going into this movie thinking it will be like the TV show, you're right. It's like exactly like the TV show. I've watched the handful of TV shows. It is not broken up like a TV show. Like it's not like, three different episodes in this 30-minute movie. It's more of this one storyline of Robin trying to get his own movie. And, you know, there's a lot of references. I've watched Ready Player One, too, right before this. I'm overloaded with references in movies already. I don't know if I could take so much of this. Like, so many references for everything in this movie. The strange part is, I think, minor spoilers ahead, that they reference a lot of Marvel stuff. I'm really surprised, to the point where there are characters they name and certain actors make appearance. I was like really surprised.
From Marvel?
From Marvel. It's odd. It's really weird. Like it's I don't know. It's just this movie's just poking fun of every superhero movie that's existing. Not just DC, but every other one. And I think
Man? Do they poke fun of Meteor Man?
No. I mean like
Do they poke fun of Blank Man?
No. The big. I thought you go continue on. Can you name another one besides those?
The
Shadow, I guess? Is that
The Shadow? Yeah, that's I think.
But is he based on a comic book? I think
he is really based. I mean, The Rocketeer is another one.
The Rocketeer is a comic book, yeah. But yeah, it's fun. We took our kids there, they all laughed. There's like four jokes there. I laughed like hella hard because it caught me off guard. They're not even like funny jokes. It's just very like, what? They're doing that type of thing. I just start laughing. I think, yeah, it's great for the whole family if you guys want to go. If you're a fan of the TV show, the new one and the original one, stay after the credits. You get a little treat after that.
Cool. So that is Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Yeah. So is go like exclamation mark then go to the movies?
Yeah, yeah. So it's to differentiate themselves to the other, the original Teen Titans, the one with they're more realistic and more grounded. This one's more comedy.
Cool. So you recommend it?
Yes.
Cool. So I've been only listening to like two albums nonstop this week. The first album is her EP album, I Used to Know Her, The Prelude. And the second one's from Diana Gordon. Her EP album is Pure. Both albums are incredible and like quite splendid. So I'm going to start with her. Do you know her, John? It's like an acronym that starts from.
No, I don't. I have no idea who is this.
So her is an acronym for having everything revealed. Her so-called like gimmick last year, she had an LP last year too, towards the end. She never reveals herself. She wanted like the music to speak for herself or for itself. So she took like the same approach as Sia, you know, the
with the hair.
Split hair. While performing, she kind of like masked herself with like large sunglasses and whatnot. But as time passes, she did like reveal herself, and her real name is Gabby Wilson, who was once a upcoming like musician, singer, R&B singer in 2013. But like unfortunately, due to like the record label not like really promoting her that well, she went independent, and then under the pseudonym Her. So back to this album, it's an EP that came out this past week. It's, did I say the title? I Used to Know Her, The Prelude.
I Used to Know Her, like hip-hop?
Yeah, I Used to Know Her. Yeah, Common, yeah. So it's sort of like that ode to that. And speaking like ode, like, I don't know if you've been noticing like this past year, it's actually, or this past October, I believe. It was, not October, like, yeah, this summer, Lauryn Hill's album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, came out 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
Or 20 years ago.
Okay. 20 years ago. I was about to say that. Yeah, yeah, 20 made me
years super ago. Old. Yeah, 20 years ago. So, ironically, there is a track on here that is an ode to Miss Lauryn Hill. She created a track titled Lost Souls, and it's fantastic. And it has her rapping, which she doesn't usually rap in her albums. And like Lauryn Hill, it's sophisticated, raw, and just pure like magic when you listen to it. And then, so like, not only that, but like the entire album is engaging, and her music is like immersed. Like you get to know her personal life. There's another track titled Could Have Been featuring Bryson Tiller. Although I can't like relate to the situation of the like, what's happening in the song, I could definitely empathize with it. And that's her album, which is like only like 5 to 6 tracks, but I think one of the tracks is like an interlude. So it's 5 complete tracks on this EP. And then the other artist, Diana Gordon, who has a similar story in which she was involved with a major label, and she was a major recording artist, and once again the label didn't know how to promote her well, so she also went independent, and this resulted in her creating this EP titled Pure. And like her, she also brings this like refreshing and alluring talent, especially a song like Wolverine and A Moment to Myself. Yes, and she has this really great song titled Kool-Aid, and from a interview that I just watched earlier today, it's about her, and this is real life, her finding her like long lost younger brother who developed like this schizophrenia and became homeless. The song is, I mean, the situation is sad, but the song is like oddly uplifting. But yeah, I advise people, encourage people to listen to that track. It's really good to, it's a really pleasant thing to listen to. Anyway, so if you notice, like, there are similarities between her and Diana Gordon, but they are thoroughly like different when it comes to their music and who they are. They both do bring this like provocative and personal story in their records, but it's like indicative to like such artists like Lauryn Hill, SZA, Kehlani, and then both are very talented in the craft. They both write their songs, they, you know, sing their songs. So I encourage, you know, folks to listen to them. I really feel like this is like the future of R&B. Like folks like artists like SZA and Kehlani are like up there with them. You know, I think we have the Rihanna and we have Beyonce, but this is really cool to see like young stars getting their, you know, light mm-hmm. and whatnot. So yeah, that's her. I used to know her, The Prelude, and Diana Gordon's Pure. Both are EP albums, so they're both short, but they all have great songs in them. But yeah, moving on. So I think that's the main discussion now, John.
No, this is fast. We got here quick.
Yeah, so this is the main discussion. This week's main discussion is Venture Brothers Season 7 premiere.
We are but idle slaves to the duality of life. Dreaming and waking.
Oh, no.
Man and machine.
Where is it?
Yes, boom!
Your robot is in the thrall of the demon! He is the devil's concubine!
The Monarch and Gary.
We're here to fight you and steal your...
Ah, mother! So that is a clip from the episode of Venture Brothers Season 7 premiere. The title of the episode is The Venture Brothers and the Curse of the Haunted Problem. From IMDb, this is the quick synopsis. The past is haunting the Ventures building. Literally, can a good exorcism fix everything? Meanwhile, Hank is pressured by goons to break off his relationship with the mobster's boss daughter. This is once again created by Jackson Public. Public, I think that's how you say his name. That's how you spell it, though. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
AKA Christopher McCoyle.
Yeah, yeah. All of them are also on the show and whatnot. There's a lot of voice actors that are familiar if you're in the comedy scene. I don't want to name all of them, but so John, what's your thoughts about the season 7 premiere, and were you as lost as I am?
Not really, kind of. No, actually, so I didn't like went back and watched the previous episodes. I also want to mention that Doc Hammer is like one of the
writers
up here too. Yeah. He's like very influential of this because he looks like one of the characters too on the TV show. I forgot.
And then for those who don't know who like Doc Hammer is, he also is one of the creators for what do you call that? The Tick.
Oh yes, yes. He helped create some episodes. So you could, if you could tell, then like the way the show is structured is almost like similar to The Tick, where they poke fun of these, like they pay homage to like the Johnny Quest back in the day, or even Marvel characters, DC characters, everything like that. So this episode I really like. It still has that mystery about the show that like they start the episode of this thing, this machine, and you're trying to figure out what is it, what's happening, and then you get reintroduced to all these characters, like, oh, we forgot what happened to this character, he's here, and this character is right here, and everything. And I like how they're still have this eerie, not eerie, but this strange things happening in this episode. And not until the end when you actually find out. And it makes you wonder, like, man, they're actually building a really good like history, or not history, like what do you call it? Mythology around this show. Like, just thinking back from past episodes and what they were before and now how they are now, it's kind of cool. It makes me really want to watch the past episodes just to get everything back together. So in this episode too, there's a lot of funny parts that caught me off guard. They do so much like referential jokes, but it's not like every other second or every other minute's doing it. It's a throwaway line that's not even like a actual punchline to anything. It's just one character's like, oh, is it blah, is it this, that, or like, you know, just replace what I just said. Like, and then that's it. No one else like talks about it or anything like that. They just, that one character says something and that's it. No one ever acknowledged it to the other character. And I think that's funny because no one really cares about that reference, it seems like. So this episode 2, I was watching it with my kids, and it's a little more adult verse for kids, but it's not as bad as like Rick and Morty. Like that type of show is hard to watch around kids because there's a lot of language that I don't really want my kids to listen to at this moment. I mean, it's but this show is more still, they don't really do a lot of adult themes. They do jokes around like themes and stuff like that. But back to the story that my son was while watching it saw what's his name? Not Dr. Mobius. What's his name? Morpheus. Dr. Morpheus. So when he saw that character, he's like, "Hey, why is Doctor Strange in here?" And I have to explain that the whole show is a parody of those type of things. And he's like, "Oh, okay," like that. And he thought it was funny that the way he talks and the way the character acts is kind of fun. And yeah, it's cool. The way I was telling him, and yeah, they enjoyed it. Yeah, this episode is heavily heavily more for the Venture family, it seems like. You don't really see the Monarch until certain scenes, and that's it. Like, you don't see what happened to him, and it's more of what the Ventures right now are doing, and I think that's cool start.
Yeah, I was going to mention to explain what happened, but...
what happened in the episode?
No, like, who are the Venture brothers and whatnot later. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I've already warned the listeners that, you know, that we're going to go spoiler. And then I want to make a correction. It's not Doc Hammer who created
The Help. He's just a writer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Christopher McCoy. How do you say his name?
Christopher McCohol.
McCohol. Yeah. Christopher McCohol and Ben London.
Yeah, yes.
Edlund are the creators of The Tick. So a lot of that humor spilled over here. And then if you like The Tick, it's more of that. But instead of the Saturday morning P-rated G humor, it's more of adult humor and whatnot.
Adult Swim humor.
Yes, yeah, just Adult Swim. So at first, when I first like watched the initial scenes happening in this episode over the season premiere, I was like totally disoriented. Like, I didn't know what was happening. Who are these characters and why are they in this building?
You know the characters, but you don't know why. Yeah, I know the characters,
but like, I didn't know like their intentions. Why is Hank in a bed with a woman and whatnot? And is it Hank or Dean? I forgot now. It's Hank.
Yeah, it's Hank.
But it's been 2 years, so I had to like remember over 15 years of television shows. And imagine this, John. This came out when we were 19.
I remember staying up really late before work or whatever to just watch these shows.
Yeah. I remember it came out right after we left high school. So.
Yeah, around like a couple of years afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah, then it like kind of developed like, well, at least my humor when it comes to parody humor. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather have this type of parody humor than like Family Guy or whatnot.
And then the schedule of the episode is like every 2 to 3 years they release a season. It's never like the year after.
Because I think the creator, Jackson, he explained that there's only a handful of them. So they have to do every single thing from like story, writing the story, I mean, and like actually doing the animation. So, and then like he mentioned like how things could like change when it comes to like the social and political climate where this joke might not work. So they have to rewrite it and like try to get everything out at a certain time so it doesn't feel forced. Or it feels like more organic than usual. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, I had to like recap by like watching and reading like so many videos and articles. But, like, nonetheless, I found the episode to still be, like, absurd, ironic, and a little bit somber when it comes to the characters. And then Like I think you mentioned a little bit, like the unironically thing about this show is that it's about failure,
yes,
but never fails to like entertain us. Like it's always bringing the laughs somehow, and
mm-hmm.
you get to ponder about like your own failures and how this affects everyone and the situation in life. It's kind of weird. And like I really sympathize with the characters and I want them to grow and accomplish things. And you do see some of that with some of the characters, and it's weird and it's kind of cool to see that. It has like the same effect with like Silicon Valley when I watch it, but with Silicon Valley kind of gave up because it felt like they could never improve their lifestyle somehow. But with them, it seems like there is improvement, and then there is sort of searching who you are in the Venture Brothers. And that's one of the mysteries about the show, is like, who is Rusty? And you know, there's like some sort of relationship with him and the Monarch and whatnot. So it's overall like a solid premiere. And I think they're, from what I remember, they explained this season is going to be two sets of trilogies.
Really? Yeah, I didn't like know that.
Every so the way they explain it is like the first two trilogies, which is like the first six episodes, will be like totally like different stories. But the third set, which is not like a trilogy, but it's like four episodes, the last four episodes, will be like a it will tie like a it will like what do you call it? End the story, like whatever, like what do you call that word? To encompasses like the whole story overall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so looking forward to that. So that is the Venture Brothers on Adult Swim, which premiered on Sunday, so you can watch it every Sunday and whatnot. Season 7. So John, do you have anything else to add on to that?
I want to add on, if you go to, I think it's astrobase.com. right now, if you're on your little astrobasego.com, it will pop out the Venture Brother. They did this, the Venture Brothers Shirt of the Week Club. So they did this a couple years ago or a couple seasons ago.
I always wanted to buy a shirt. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. If you have the money, it used to be $100. You get like at least four or five shirts for $100. This one's $180 and you get 10 shirts. So if you space them out, it's like one, two, what was that? Do the math real quick. Like about, ten shirts for $180. Like
you get
$20
discount in a way.
Yeah, it's that's a lot of shirts for $180 each. If you buy it like what do you call it? A la carte. Yeah, a la carte. It's $20 per shirt. But you have to pre-order it right now. So like right now on the website, if you're a huge fan, go to Venture Brothers or Astro Base Go. Click on the huge picture. It takes you there. For $180, you get about 10 shirts for the next week or so. Well, for the next week for the 10 episodes. The first shirt. Oh, you get a bonus shirt too. The Venture Brothers, like really nice shirt. The way it looks, like it's
good quality.
Yeah, like it looks shirts. Like a vintage. So I have these shirts like in the past, and they're really nice quality. I ordered the wrong size. At the time, I could fit like a medium. No more, I can't fit that. So it shrunk. So I gave it to my son. My son had the shirts now, but when they did this, I wanted them to do this like a couple when the last season, but they didn't do it. I'm still debating. I probably would do this. I really like
not
these
the
shirts.
Club subscription. I'm always on the fence just because. Well, the thing about, did you mention like they only do it every week? Like you can't buy an older shirt?
No. So yeah, when this happens, they sell out really quick. Like especially the ones that are like really popular style. So right now there's two shirts out because the season premiere. One is the bonus shirt, the Rusty Machine one, where it's just the Venture Brothers with the father and the two kids and what's his name? Not Captain Hatred. I forgot his last name. And
Brock.
No, the Brock and the other guy, the one with the H.
It's Hatred.
Hatred, yeah. That's the shirt. Then the season, episode one shirt is a problem shirt, basically. It's the eye thing. It says problem. And that's it. Most of the time, it's the logo is very simple. Like, it's not like eye-catching unless you know the episode or know Venture Brothers. That's what I like about the shirts. They're not like...
Is the Rusty Machine, is that a reference to Stranger Things?
Yes, it is, actually.
It seems like... Oh, it is. Okay.
I think they did that purposely.
Okay. It is very weird to see them referencing like something that's like popular sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, just weird, yeah.
I'll probably buy one of them as time... I'll check in and out when every week to see which style I want. And
yeah, same here. Yeah. Most of the time, I like it when they have a company shirt. Like they... In the past, they did when Hank had his own... You bought
the Venture shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm jealous of.
Mm-hmm. They Hank had a juice business and they sold that shirt logo. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I didn't buy that one though. I wanted to buy that.
But yeah. That's what's that website again?
AstrobaseGo.com.
Yeah, AstrobaseGo.
A lot of Go stuff this season.
So I know. So where can they find you online, John?
You can find me at Twitter and Epic. I don't know what you call that thing. Epic Game Launcher at Abaya Arts.
Cool. And you can find me also on Twitter, Instagram, and Epic Game Launcher, I guess you call it, at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. On Twitter, we have TFA Now, Facebook, The Freaking Awesome. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you want to reach us through email, it's contacts at thefreakingawesome.com. Thank you for listening once again. Wait until next month when we release another episode. next month. This is our monthly episode. No, we're trying to
get six more episodes the next.
Yes. I think we're going to be extremely busy until my wedding. So we'll put like mini episodes. How about that, John? Like,
yes, yes.
If we're just going to watch something together or do something together, we'll just talk about that one thing.
Yeah.
And then put it out and whatnot. But yeah, everyone enjoy. Thank you again. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.